Well, hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Dream Big Podcast. This is Scott Schimmel, your host. And today we're doing something a bit different in terms of the content. Rather than have a specific guest and a conversation, we're actually going to pull a few excerpts from previous episodes, almost like a best of series, and talk about transitioning, because you probably have noticed those long summer hot days are shortening, and those shorter, cooler, crisper fall days are coming. Now I'm in San Diego, so we don't see or feel the acute changes of the seasons, maybe like you do if you're somewhere else in the world, but we still feel it. We feel it as our kids go back to school, as football starts, we feel it in the short days and it's starting to get dark early and the soccer season starting for our kids. Maybe you see it in the pumpkin spice lattes. Maybe you're a fan or your fall candles that my wife's got out. But the idea of transitioning from one season to the next is actually a really helpful framework. It's a really helpful tool for us in our lives to take a pause, to not just roll right into the next season, but actually stop, pause, and reflect on where we've been, what's going on, and where we're going. So we want to guide you through that. And first, we've got an excerpt from a conversation that Bob and I did a couple years ago about clearing the path. And the idea of it is, let's take a step back. Let's take a look back on where we've been and maybe how we've caught or been caught by some things that have happened in our lives, and make sure that we deal with it, process it, and figure out what to do with it before we move on. Bob, I was thinking on the way over to seeing you today that you and I had a conversation. We've had a few conversations that have been impactful for me, but one of those was a few years ago when I was contemplating moving from a very stable job that made my parents happy to go and do something unstable, start a company. And you were one of the last people I just wanted to get your opinion. I just wanted to get your thoughts. And so I think I kind of laid out my T-chart of the pros and cons of what I was thinking about. And I remember you just looked at me kind of like with a dumb look on your face, like, why would you not go do that? And that was really the last thing that I needed to hear, because there was something kind of in the back of my brain that just kept coming up. It wasn't, does this make sense? Am I talented? Is this a good opportunity? It was really deep down, do I have what it takes? And the big fear was no. And I think you just looking at me like that, you just gave me such confidence to push through that limiting belief that I had.
Yeah, I think we all have these beautiful ambitions, and that we're actually wondering underneath that, like, will it work? And what's a bad day? Leukemia, like that would be a bad day. But having one of your beautiful ideas not work, that's just Tuesday. And the beautiful thing is that there's a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday. Right. And so if you're listening to this and you can identify with a thing, like you've got this idea, you've analyzed it from every angle, like, can we just roll this thing out? Could we like move it from just being a bunch of brain candy to actually doing this thing and overcome some of your fears? And so that's why today is so beautiful to be talking about clearing the path.
Yeah. And whether you're tracking with us or not, we're moving through the 7-part Dream Big framework. Part one, a couple months ago, was talking through declaring and defining what your big ambitions are, getting clear about them and having the courage and boldness to say, that's me. Those are my dreams.
And tell everybody about it. Like literally, if you get pulled over for speeding, tell the cops about it.
Yeah.
If you get hung up at TSA, tell the whoever is there, like in having you surrounded, tell them about it. Tell everybody about it. And then the next framework key was explore opportunities.
Yeah. So you've got this big dream. Now what? How do you look down the different opportunities you have to go live out and express that dream? And this month we're shifting gears and shifting tone to talk about the inner stuff, the emotional stuff, the real stuff that sometimes is the actual battle as we think about declaring and going after our big dreams.
Yeah. I mean, you can think of these things as limiting beliefs. We'll be referring to that for the next little bit. But they're really the reasons why not. They're these barricades that got in the way between you and going after this expectation of yours. But you've got it's a self-made barricade. And you got to figure out, why is it that I don't just see that as a hurdle to jump over, but I see a barricade that prevents? And I want to like explore those because we each have them.
Well, I know I have them. Do you?
Oh, I totally do. Everybody would know me as like that happy, you right, know, go right. lucky, like whatever, it's going to work out. But actually that stems from being a really young guy who was super insecure. And here's the crazy thing. I'm an old guy that's still super insecure. What I learned though early on is that I can mask a whole lot of insecurity by just being fun or just be a funny guy. Because if I could make other people laugh, it wasn't about getting people's approval. If you're listening, that would be like doing it for the applause.
Yeah.
You want the applause. Join the circus. But approval is a different thing that you're actually trying to get not validation for what you're doing, but approval that other people would say, I agree with you. And I was so in need of approval as a young man that I learned to compensate by just making people laugh, because it was a way to get feedback immediately. Yeah. The feedback loop is you say something fun, everybody smiles, and I just got approval.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that you need to do in clearing the path is to go underneath whatever it is. So let's say you have a beautiful ambition, whatever it's been, and you haven't seemed to find your way there. What are the limiting beliefs that are preventing you? When I was growing up, my dad took me up to the Sierras and he told me about rattlesnakes. What the rattlesnakes evidently do, they get underneath the logs. And then when you step over the log, the rattlesnake bites you in the ankle. I am 60 years old. I've never seen a rattlesnake yet. Every time I get on a log, I jump 5 feet out. It's like the standing long jump.
Yeah.
And people are like, that is so bizarre. And if you're listening, you have been doing some bizarre things that people don't understand why. You need to understand why.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with a limiting belief that there's a rattlesnake under every single log and its ambition in life is to bite me on the ankle. And so I do all these weird things to compensate, like jumping far away from the logs. And you haven't been doing those things. You've just been doing different things.
Yeah.
And those are your limiting beliefs. Let's go figure out why.
Well, there are different kinds of limiting beliefs. I'm not sure if I have what it takes. I'm not sure if I'm worth it. I don't deserve it. Maybe it's too late for me, or I'm just too responsible for too many things and too many people. What you talked about, what will people think if I go after that? What will they say about me? Who am I to even declare that?
Oh, who am I to do that? That's what I think every single time I have a chance to visit with some people and they have like a light on me or something. I'm like, who am I? I mean, like if mess ups were push ups, I'd be totally repped.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to do is to just get past these limiting beliefs that somehow like my past is going to be able to push around my future. I want my past to inform my future, but I don't want it to keep me from that. And so for some of us, you've had your past. It's a failing. It was either a big public one or an even bigger private one.
Yeah.
And you think that just disqualified you instead of that, like educating you.
Well, how do you even do that? How do you walk through that? You talked about examining what those limiting beliefs are in the first place. So getting clear about what they are, it's almost like slowing down the tape to listen to the commentary and seeing what is that voice? Where does that come from?
Yes, you could actually spin the Beatles album backwards. I know I'm dating myself, but they actually record. I don't know if they said John Lennon's still alive or something, to spin this thing backwards and to say, where did that come from? Because if you take your behaviors now that are getting in the way of you achieving your ambitions to say, well, I always get to the starting line, but I actually never start the race.
Yeah.
And it's because you're waiting for somebody else to shoot the gun and say, start. Quit enabling whoever it is that you gave that gun to.
That's right.
To say they somehow have permission for you starting your race. Here, bang. Go.
There it is. That's all you need.
There it is. I just gave it to you. So to say, are you trying to build consensus? Or are you giving a somehow agency to some guy in Omaha who's a stranger to you, who you haven't even actually met, but you don't want them to think ill of you if you tried and it failed?
Yep.
And so somehow I would say, like, could we just take the reins back and just say, if faith is a big deal for you as it is for me, I would say me and you, Jesus, like, let's just do this. Yeah. I'm trying to get like kind of audience of one thing to say, what are these ambitions that you put inside of me? Are they ones that square with some of the things that I believe the most? And what's my next step? And but if you're always preparing, but never starting, that would be an indicator.
Yeah.
You'd say like, you know, the 10 indications that you are struggling with a limiting belief, always preparing. So if you've got this list that you've made and you did your pros and cons, but you actually don't roll this thing out, you just keep adding to the list, you know you've got a limiting belief there. And so I would say there's no shame in that. But I say, could we just figure out the return address of that?
That's step one.
An old boyfriend, an old girlfriend, a teacher who spoke a lie over you, a parent, a sibling, a former spouse, whatever it is, don't think bad of them. Don't try to get in their head. That's their work to do.
Yep.
Your work to do is to keep your eyes on your own paper, as sweet Maria Goff says so oftenly to me. Keep your eyes on your own paper and then just say, what's getting in the way?
Yeah.
And how do I overcome this new limiting belief? How do I carve a new little groove in my brain and then go Grand Canyon with it?
I think one of the most helpful things that we can do as we transition from one season to the next is to do the pause, do the stop. I'm a journal guy. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're more of a talk out loud guy, or maybe you like to type things. But the point and the challenge would be for you to reflect on a few questions. Literally, where have you been? Take a look back on your calendar the past 3 months. Where were you? What are you, as you transition to the fall, what are you maybe taking with you? What's something that's happened? Maybe a conclusion you've come to, a new idea that sparked, a new question. What are you taking with you into the fall? Take a few minutes and try to think of and spend time reflecting on that question. And the last question would be this: what do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? And we're going to now queue up another excerpt from a conversation that Bob had not too long ago with Ian Cron. He's an author. He's really best known lately for his leadership on the Enneagram, and great comments. One of the wisest, deepest guys that I've been around, that I learned from. Ian's got some great thoughts on how we do that inner work to figure out what we need to let go of. So listen up to Bob and Ian Cron.
Sometimes what we have is a setback along the way. Something goes wonky and we think it's a message from God, when really everything isn't this battle between good and evil. Some stuff just goes awry, and you'll find out later, like, how that fit into the longer version of developing some patience in yourself or some character attributes. But for in a time where you want to figure out what does it all mean right now, to just be patient, to say, I think the cumulative effect of this is going to develop in me these attributes. And but to find somebody you could get real with, to say, honestly, right now, I'm just a little chapped about this, to just be like, I want to punch a wall. And if you could find some safe people to have an honest conversation, but wise people, not just smart people, because smart people are a dime a dozen. Find wise people. You, among a small group of people, would be wise people that I would go to say, man, here's some stuff I'm sorting out. I don't really have a shelf for that thing. And then I think you'd probably, instead of trying to find one of your shelves, you'd say, well, it sounds like you need to build a new shelf if you don't have that. So sometimes a wise friend will just listen and not say a word either. Say like, wow, man, that's got to really sting. If I come up with something, I'll let you know, but I just want you to know I'm with you. And sometimes just to be with somebody in the middle of that is just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I have a dear friend. His name is Michael Cusick. He's a therapist in Colorado. He's one of the best psychotherapists I know. And I've known him for 30 years. And when I was riding the road back to you, there were lots of times, man, where I just was overwhelmed. I was trying to write a book in 5 months on a fast deadline. I was trying to learn and write at the same time. I mean, it was crazy. It was 12-hour days. But that's when I put that Odysseus thing up on my door, you know, like, when that raft gets torn to pieces, then I will swim. And he, Mike would call me, you know, once, no, I don't know, more, 3 times a week. He'd call me, go, how you doing, man? And I'd say, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't, you know. And he would just send me texts like, swim.
Yes, yes.
Swim.
Yeah.
And then he did another thing that was so amazing. And it was another thing I put on the window over my laptop. He said, Ian, every time you say you're going to quit, I just want you to think of a bunch of faces of people who will benefit from what it is that you're doing. And forget yourself. You know, as a friend of mine likes, my AA sponsor likes to say to me, try not to get too involved in your life, Ian. And he would just say, get out of yourself. And by way of sustaining belief, just think about what's going to happen when you get home to Ithaca? What's going to happen when, you know, you actually do deliver a book that may, and of course I had no guarantees then, but that may actually move the needle in a couple of people's lives. And that's what can help you hold on to the raft that's breaking apart.
Yeah, sometimes living in anticipation for what it might mean in the lives of the people that matter to you the most, if you would stay the course, even against all of the difficulties and setbacks. I know there's a vulnerability to writing and putting your thoughts out there that you'll have people that will disagree with you. Let's say, like, I write books and I don't put Bible verses in it because I'm not writing it for John Piper. I'm like writing it for the guy at the tire store. And it's not about a second year seminary student. I want the person that feels like completely alienated from faith things to just feel welcome, not just invited, but actually welcome. Gay, straight, Buddhist, Baptist, whoever, like just get in here. So one of the examples is to know why you're doing what you're doing. Even on this, like you have an ambition, you've gone for it. It isn't going well right now. But if you're reminded about the reason why that underlined that, then it gives you the courage to sustain that belief, to just say, that was worth it then, and it's worth it now. Have you had some setbacks where you were misunderstood? It happens to me all the time. That's just Tuesday for me. And I'm like not an angsty guy. I just like people will like misunderstand something and get wrapped up. And I'm like, I don't know, man, get a puppy.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, setbacks are just part of the deal, man. I think that the two great enemies of sustained belief and of actually realizing an ambition, the two great traps, and by the way, there were the two great traps for Odysseus and the Odyssey, you know. I mean, there's just so much wisdom in that book. It's crazy, you know.
You know, everybody's going on Amazon right now and ordering.
It's actually not the easiest read in the world. I wouldn't necessarily
they'll get the cliff notes.
but it's just fear and lethargy. You know, those are the death to great ambitions.
Tease that out for me a little more.
Yeah, well, so like fear would be the Cyclops, you know what I mean? It's like in the Odyssey, but it's like fear is, I can't, you know, this is too big. I can't do it. This is just way too big for me. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get exposed. People are going to laugh at me. I'm going to laugh at me. My mother's going to disown me. You know, whatever. My dog won't talk to me anymore if I keep going on with this project. You know, it's just fear upon fear upon fear. Just making movies in your head all day long of what could go wrong.
Isn't that nuts?
Oh, yeah. Catastrophizing.
Yeah. And every alternate ending is worse than the other alternate ending.
Yeah. And fear is the kiss of death in the face of a great dream, you know? And then, so that would be one. And lethargy is the other one. And by that, I mean, you know, hey, come, don't worry about it. You know, pop a beer, watch a little Netflix. Tomorrow, you can start tomorrow. And that's lethargy. You know, that's the delusional belief that, you know, mañana, you know, we'll get to it mañana. And it's like that, those two things are the kiss of death, fear and lethargy.
And I would say one of the things that would launch people, the thing, the ignition is a sense of love. Like that literally, if it's fear and lethargy on one side of the equation, it's love to just say, I love not only my neighbors, but I love myself enough to be the guy God made me to be the woman God made you to be, to say, I actually have so much love for other people that I'm willing to risk all that time and spell check and being misunderstood to write the road back to you and to say, expose myself, knowing, because that's the only thing that'll overcome it. Because if it's popularity, I mean, that's going to fade in a big hurry. If it's something like all the things that people, on the dashboard that they're looking at, those things are going to fade. But if it's like the real version of love, selfless love, then that actually will give us what we need to get past all the things that are holding us back.
Okay, now that we're doing a little of the deeper work and you're tracking with us, now it's time to start looking forwards into this fall. The fall's, I mean, it's my favorite season, to be quite honest, as we're kind of wrapping up in the holidays, Thanksgiving. But between now and then, the rest of September, October, November, there's so much that's going to happen. What's the clarity that you're going to have? What are you going to be pushing forward? What's the dream that you're going to pursue? I want you to listen in to this next clip from Jamie Kern Lima, episode we did a while ago, and the thoughts that she has. I think she's just a shot of adrenaline, a shot of focus, a shot of belief. Listen up to Jamie give you and I a pep talk as we transition into the fall.
I think that in this season, right, because for me, I went through about 3 years of hearing no from everybody. So we got down to under $1,000 in our bank account, which was our personal and company combined bank account. I didn't know what we were going to do. It got to the point, I don't know anyone out here who maybe had this experience when, like, if you go to an ATM machine and you get $20 out, but you hit no receipt because you don't want to see the receipt.
Yes, it's just bad news.
Yes, it's bad news. And like, we were going to Costco finally. Whenever we ate out, it was the Costco stand because you could get the dollar hot dog.
Oh, I love those things. Yeah.
Like, that's the good part, is a dollar and it tastes good. But we were like, we didn't know what we were going to do. And it's really hard when, and the one thing I would do, and I would share this with everyone listening, is it's so hard when experts are saying no. People you value so much because they've created great things, or they're visionaries, or they're the publisher you keep sending your book to, or they're the retailer you want to sell your product, or whatever, the organization you want to speak at, and they keep saying no, thank you, right? It's so easy to let to put that on a pedestal instead of like our own truth, right? And you know, everyone's different, and everyone has different, is in a different spot on their journey with faith. But you know, for me, the way I hear God, the way I hear my own calling, is through my own gut instinct. And so for me, and sharing this in case it helps anyone else out there right now, when all the self-doubt was just all around me, and it's so easy to hear that over hearing your own instinct, your own truth, right? Your own gut feeling. It's so important to learn how to, because you have other people's opinions. You have all the rejection you're going through. You have the fact that, at least in my case, in front of me was no proof that my idea was any good, and definitely no money, right? And it's so hard. And every time I would check back in with my gut and be like, God, there is no proof around me. This, like, are you sure I'm on the right track? Like, are you sure? I would keep getting that feeling that I was. And I think that that's so important, because if we don't tune into that, it's way too easy to quit. It's way too easy to give up, right? And just to quote Jay-Z on the Bob Goff podcast.
Of course.
But you know, Jay-Z says the genius thing we did was we didn't give up. Like, that's one of his most famous quotes. And sometimes it's that simple, right? Sometimes it's that simple. And I think, like, yes, we worked really, really hard. And every time we got knocked down, you know, we kept getting back up and kept going. That alone, I think, separates 95% of the people who quit. But I really think the most important thing we did on the whole journey, and by the way, I did so many things wrong, but one of the things I did do right was, like, in starting with, in my living room with close to nothing and building a billion-dollar company, is just like making that decision to believe that I could. And I think, like, figuring that part out is so much more important than going, oh, I don't know if I am qualified, and I don't have the right connections, and I didn't, you know, come from the right place. And the one other thing before I forget is, because you're asking just some tips, I would create this sort of, like, and I still do right now to this day, and so many things you've shared, Bob, are in this, but it's this imaginary toolkit that I have in my own mind, and I pull from it when I need that extra boost of belief or that extra reminder of maybe someone else's story that helps me believe in the possibility of my own. And, you know, there's so many things I pull on, from stories to, like, you know, one of my favorite sayings, because I think for everybody, everybody kind of faces imposter syndrome sometimes, but especially women, we start to think, like, oh, who are we to do this? We're not qualified. Like, someone else on Instagram is doing it better, or this or that. And we lose track of all that. And every time I'd start to kind of, like, doubt myself or feel like I wasn't smart enough, or I didn't come from the right place, or I didn't, any of those things, right? I didn't feel qualified. There's a famous saying I would always call on, just sharing it in case someone out there needs to hear it, and maybe they haven't yet. But and it's a saying that says, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I would say that to myself over and over, because to me, it means, like, if we have this ambition on our heart that we can't shake, this, I feel like it's part of your calling, you know? And if God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I think that means that you then have everything you need inside of you already, like to accomplish your ambition, your dream. And part of our journey is like learning to believe that for ourselves.
If you've listened to the Dream Big podcast before, or if you know anything about Bob, you know this. He would say that living a focused, engaged life, a life of love, adventure, and impact shouldn't be a mystery. It's possible. It's actually what we're all wired for. And it's what's deep inside of our hearts. But it's not the norm. For most people, that's not what they would say is true about their life. Most people would say that they feel like they're missing out on some different life that others seem to experience. Or we hear people say, it should have all just worked out by now, but it hasn't. And a lot of people will say, not necessarily use this word, but that they're languishing, that this is it. That kind of feeling that this must be as good as it gets. But we know that there's so much more. And that's honestly why we started putting these digital courses together a few years ago. Bob can't go everywhere, and not everyone can come to Bob. But what if there was a way, this is the idea, what if there was a way to share life together for a brief amount of time and walk through these simple ideas that Bob's been learning? So before, we've had these digital courses released kind of one at a time, and then we'll open it and then close it and then go on to the next one. And a lot of people have kind of asked, how do I go down this path? I read the books, I listen to the podcast, but what's next? And so maybe you had this bright idea before. It just took us a while to get there, but we decided to put all these digital courses that we've done over the years together in one central place. We've done six of them, actually. There's a couple in there about dreaming big and helping you identify and unleashing your big ambitions. One for, you call it someone in the middle of life. The other one is for someone who's getting started out in their 20s. We have a digital course for people who want to be authors. It's called Author Class. We've got another for speakers. We've got a full-on deep dive into designing the family of your dreams. We've got a course for building a career. And we have more courses in the pipeline coming soon. And you've probably also heard of Bob Weekly, this monthly subscription of video teachings by Bob and exclusive content. And that's in there too. We put this all together into something we're calling the Dream Big Academy, where we would say it's the place to go for people who want to get serious about the shape and trajectory of their lives. We'd love for you to learn more. We'd love for you to sign up and enroll. And if you're curious, in the show notes, there's even a short webinar where we go deeper into what's behind it and what's inside. So check out the Dream Big Academy. We built it for you, and we'd love for you to sign up.